Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Plugged Into. I'm your host, Kimmy Dixon, and I'm also the founder of Hypertribe, of which this is a production of. So this week on Plugged Into, we'll be talking to Melinda Hale all about how to be an artist entrepreneur. It's something that we preach over here at Hypertribe, and if you want to know more how to get up and running as an artist entrepreneur, head over to our website, www.hypertribe.io. As ever, we love to hear from you, so if you like the episode, do DM us on Instagram at hyper_tribe and let us know what you think. Let us know who you want to hear from, because we want to ask the questions that you want to know. All right, over to Melinda. Welcome to the show, Melinda. How are you? And can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm doing well. I'm in sunny Los Angeles. It's about 100 degrees right now. But yeah, I'm a singer-songwriter, activist, business owner. I'm originally from Santa Barbara, California, and I currently live in Los Angeles, like I said. And, you know, I've been performing full-time as a singer-songwriter for the last 10 years, and I've done a lot of touring and recording and things like that. And I got into creating my own music agency and artist management and development company because I wanted to sort of create a platform for other artists as well. And then I've been really involved in a lot of activism. So I started a podcast and blog called We Need to Talk, and it hits on a lot of political issues and cultural entertainment topics as well. So that's kind of the shortened version of just me and then things that I do and that I'm involved in.
No, it's awesome. And the reason why I obviously wanted you on the show is because, well, first off, you're an artist entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we over here at Hypertribe really do preach. So it's perfect. But also one of our listeners reached out and definitely wanted to hear from you. And we were like, yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's so great. Thank you.
So let's start at the beginning. What does artist entrepreneur really mean to you?
Someone who's able to take hold of their own career, honestly. And I think that that became very important to me, just having gone through so many different managers and, you know, different talks with like labels and agencies, and realizing that I had, you know, the tools within me to kind of just funnel my own career and make my own opportunities. So for me, it's really been about, you know, music has always been a part of my life, and my talent is my talent, and I'll always have my voice. But it's been about learning business techniques and learning how to kind of cultivate relationships, not just networking. I tell people networking is not what you want to do. You want to build relationships. That's what's always so important. So for me, that has been the number one aspect of being an artist entrepreneur. And it's also just about knowing your limits, really, and also knowing your strengths and being able to find what works for you. You know, when I started doing music, I was kind of pigeonholed because, being a Black female, it was assumed that I did just R&B soul music. And while it is an influence, I'm definitely not. I definitely put myself in more the singer-songwriter pop category. So becoming my own boss has allowed me to really strengthen the genre that I see myself in, and fulfilling the role that I see myself playing in the music industry, because I think it's really important to do what you believe and do what you feel and what makes you feel good. And eventually you will find your audience. There's an audience out there, honestly, for everybody, I've discovered. And being able to kind of write my own story and create my own path, my own route, has allowed me to find my fan base and helped me create what I've wanted to create. And so it's been a real blessing just to kind of work for myself for the last few years.
That's awesome. And why do you think it's so important to be an artist entrepreneur? Because there are probably 1,000 reasons, but what's the kind of golden reason you would say?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the main thing is just integrity and staying true to yourself. You know, you want to be happy at the end of the day with what you're doing. So if you have control over it, there's really nobody else to be upset with but you. And so, and I fight with myself all the time, but I am in control. So I think that's why it's most important for people to be an artist entrepreneur, because you want to know what you're doing when it comes to your career and not let anybody else kind of take the wheel for you. You want to be in control. You want to know what you're talking about. You want to protect yourself and keep a level of integrity within the art that you're creating.
Awesome. And where would someone start? So let's rewind to maybe the beginning when you were like, the light bulb went on. Mm-hmm. First of all, what was that moment like? Do you remember it?
When I became an entrepreneur as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was, I can't remember the exact time, but I knew the feeling was that I was just kind of tired of waiting for somebody else to give me an opportunity. And I've always been sort of a self-starter. And so I just finally was like, you know what? Google is free. So I'm going to take advantage of just what the resources are that are out there, reading as many blogs and articles, and just figure out how to do this on my own. And that, you know, that could manifest itself for a lot of different ways for other people. But for me, it was being able to create my own company in order to support other people. Because I believe that when you have a strong network, then you are even stronger. So when I created my music agency and my artist management and development company, my goal was really just to help my friends get gigs and to have sustainable income so that they could achieve their dreams. And it has then allowed me to pursue my dreams even more because I do have sustainable income through the company. And I'm also learning with helping people and consulting people on their careers and learning other things on how to push my career forward as well. So for me, it's kind of been a pay it forward situation that has allowed me to grow in my career. But it was really just the frustration of feeling like I was always auditioning or always going into meetings and people wanting to kind of change what I was and who I was and what I was doing that was a light bulb for me. Like, you know what? I can do this on my own. I don't need to go through another bad manager situation. I don't need to have another rejection, even though rejection is a part of the game. But I knew that I was smart enough and I was resourceful enough and had enough tenacity to be able to just figure it out on my own.
And that's such a big step as well. It's a really big step to switch that mindset. But more importantly, that first step of being able to, it sounds like you just really got the knowledge, like foundation sorted.
Absolutely. And like I said, Google's free, you know, so it doesn't take much. It's just you have to do the work and you have to go down the rabbit hole of finding, you know, what you're looking for, you know, looking up, for example, music licensing or looking up, you know, how to self-manage, looking up how to copyright your music or register your music with your PRO. It's just, it is a lot. There's a lot of information out there. You just have to be willing to do the work to find it.
Yeah, for sure. And that's really important right there. It's like, it is within your grasp. Mm-hmm. It's just being able to, first of all, get that layer of knowledge and that foundation, and then also then build on top of that to understand the business side.
Yes.
Who works where, who does what, why they do what they do. Can you do it quicker? Because I think one of the things that a lot of artists find is that it's quite daunting when you don't have a team.
Right.
So
right.
How did you kind of get around that? Because, I mean, starting on your own, how did you get over that kind of daunting experience of being like, I'm going to have to do this all by myself?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, yeah, I think everybody does kind of get sucked into the mindset that you need a team. And eventually you do get to a point where I'm sure you do need one. But I've had a very supportive husband who's been able to help me with a lot of things. And he's a lawyer, which is a blessing in itself. So he was able to help me with a lot of stuff. And I had to figure out if I were to invest time and money into any form of team, what would it be? And so what I did, instead of, I figured out how to manage myself, do all my own business, do all my own booking. But the one thing I did invest in was PR, because marketing wasn't really my strong point, because it always felt weird for me to like, be promoting myself, so to speak, even though you have to kind of pitch yourself to a certain extent. But for me, that was the one quote unquote team member that I was like, okay, if I'm going to spend money on anything, it's going to be invested in PR and a good PR campaign for my music and for whatever I'm working on, because they have the contacts that I don't. And I think that's also a mindset that people need to stick with, is like, you don't need a manager if you are capable of doing certain things. You only need a team member when you cannot physically do the work. And there was things within PR that I knew I could not do on my own, which is why I hired a publicist. But that's, you know, with having a team, I get why people think it's important, but is it, it's like, do you need a team or are you just being lazy? you know, so then you have to ask yourself that question.
That's the bit that I really want to talk about, is Sometimes I come across artists that they're like, I need a manager. And I'm like, why? And then they list a couple of things, like they're like, oh yeah, my social media needs to be done. And I'm like, you're just listing things that you just don't really want to do. So exactly. What's the difference there between, how do you spot when someone's being lazy? And I don't know, for yourself, you're like, okay, cool. I don't really want to do this, but you know, you've got to be able to outsource or do it yourself.
Right. I mean, personally, like I said, for me, when it came to PR, I had gotten, you know, blog placements, or I'd gotten music reviews. But when you're trying to get like higher level stuff, like when you're making goals, I'm a very goal-oriented person. I make lists and things that I want to achieve, like monthly, yearly, things like that. So when you're looking at these certain things, if you know for a fact, like for example, I haven't gotten to this point yet, but if you want to get written up, let's say Rolling Stone, you can't just write Rolling Stone and say, hey, I have a song coming out. Do you want to review it? You know, there's certain levels where you know you're going to need somebody else that has contacts within the industry to do that. Things like social media, completely within your grasp. Things like booking, completely within your grasp. I think it's just, you have to recognize when you get to the point, okay, I physically cannot do this. If this is not within my wheelhouse, I don't have the contacts. I don't have the wherewithal. I don't even know how to format this email. I do need help. So yeah, it is a fine line. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of musicians and artists do kind of fall into the, they just don't want to do it. They would rather have somebody do it for them. I think a lot of it also comes into optics. It looks cool when you have somebody doing your social media for you. It looks cool to say you have a manager. But at the end of the day, if you're capable of doing all of those things, you don't really need to have that many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's so true. Actually, I haven't actually thought about it like that. But now that you say it, I'm like, yeah, that's really true. Everyone goes, oh, I need a team. And I'm like, why? And they're like, oh, because I want. And what it really comes down to is because it looks cool.
Like, yeah, you know? Exactly. I personally think it looks cooler to be able to say, oh, I did all of this on my own. But that's just me. You know, I think that gives you more bragging rights if you accomplish so many things by yourself.
Yeah, no, I agree. And let's talk about the different ventures that are around you. Which one came first?
Booking came first, and figuring out how to book my own shows, and you know, getting into big festivals and getting into fairs and you know, summer concert series. That was my first goal. I would go to different venues and like, oh, how did this person get in, you know, to perform here? Like, I feel like I could perform here. I could get a fan base here. So then you go into research. You know, I would introduce myself to the sound person or introduce myself to the venue manager. Go, you know, a couple times to shows that they would know me. Then I would send an email, be like, hey, I saw the show here a couple weeks ago. I really love to perform. Here's a sample of my music, you know, things like that. Then performing in like bigger concert venues and concert series, that was definitely like a rabbit hole Google search, figuring out who to contact, you know, when they were taking submissions. I also taught myself a lot of SEO keywords. So you knew exactly what to type into Google to get the right results, so that you would know exactly, you know, what you were looking for would show up. So for festivals and fairs and things like that, for booking, I knew exactly what to type in. So it started with booking. And then when it came into like management stuff, just really cleaning up my image and figuring out exactly how I wanted to present myself took some time. You know, I'd do some branding classes, and learning and education is always important. So I encourage people to just always read. One of my favorite blogs is the DIY musicians blog that CD Baby releases every week. They have really incredible things and incredible tips that people can just soak. They can soak up and figure out how to manage their own careers in that way. But yeah, booking shows is the first thing that came, and then realizing that, oh, I can completely fully manage my career. I can do this.
That's awesome. And if someone's out there and they're really thinking, I want to do this, mm-hmm. I want to be just like Melinda, and I really want to get myself going, but I'm a little bit scared, you know, worried about being judged. What advice would you give them?
This isn't the greatest advice, but it's helped me, so I hope that it helps somebody. The worst thing that anybody can say to you is no. So you just have to go for it. You just have to take the risk. And as scary as it is, you know, you can start small, but really, and that's that phrase, somebody, I don't remember who told me that, but I was in that position where like, oh, you know, someone's not going to want to book me, or why, you know, I don't have that big of a following yet, or, you know, my music isn't as good as where I want it to be. The worst thing that anybody can say to you is no. And then you just keep moving until you get that yes. I think also, if you don't believe fully in what you're doing, there's no way you're ever going to get anybody else to. So what, make sure whatever music you're making is something that you are completely, completely fulfilled by, something that you 100% stand by, that, you know, you are proud of, that you wouldn't feel ashamed to just send to friends and be like, hey, you know, we listened to the song, I wrote this. Because you have to pitch yourself to a certain extent, like I said, especially in booking. So if you can't describe your music, if you are like kind of unsure about a song, you're like, oh, I don't really like how this sounds, but I'll send it out anyway, don't do that. You want to make sure that you're like, no, I'm proud of this. I'm proud of this music. I know that there's an audience out there for me. Then go for it. And the worst thing that anybody can say is no.
That's really good advice, actually. Really good advice. And I think that first step as well onto that same path, what do you think that would be?
The first step, oh God, I feel like there's so many first steps.
There are so many.
I know, right? Because everybody's journey is different. So it's hard to say what the first step would be. I think it does come down to the content, you know, I mean, that's what you're selling if you're an artist, you know, so you want to make sure that the songs that you have a good sample of songs to show people, and just make sure you have a good product to start with, something that you stand behind that is completely genuine to who you are as a human being. And then you go from there. But it always starts with the music, because that's what you're practicing and doing.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about the current day, mm-hmm. and everything that you've got going on at the moment. Mm-hmm. The podcast is awesome.
Thank you.
And it's one thing that, you know, I'm so glad that obviously in terms of activism over here at Hyper Tribe, we try and also do a lot with women and music,
mm-hmm.
And really promote that. And so it's just something that I think that everybody also has to have, like, some really good, strong kind of values and the way in which they kind of preach what they do. So it's something that you can obviously wrap into your music, which I think you've done quite a bit of, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's huge for me.
Has it inspired quite a lot of the, or a lot of your writing, and propelled your career as an artist entrepreneur?
Yes. You know, before when I started out, I think everybody starts out, you know, doing love songs and like things about your crushes or life like that. And as I've gotten older and experienced more in my lifetime and really started to pay attention to, you know, the political climate and just what's going on in different neighborhoods and educating myself on the history of this country, I knew that because music has always been a universal language, that I had the opportunity to not just change minds, but expose people to a different perspective through something that everybody loves, which is music. And so it wasn't until a few years ago, I'd say probably 2015, 2016, when I started writing more socially conscious music. You know, I still throw a love song in there here and there. You know, I love my husband very much. Sometimes I'll write about him. But I started writing more empowering music and music about different causes that were important to me, and writing them in a way that were specific but also general, so that people would fully understand and see my perspective. One of the songs I wrote a few years ago that unfortunately is still very relevant is called We Run, and I wrote it specifically about the Black Lives Matter movement so that people would understand what exactly it is saying, because I feel like there was so much misconceptions. There still is so many misconceptions surrounding that phrase. And, you know, I've written about the LGBT community. I've written about the homeless. I just think music is such a great way to reach people in an unexpected way. And it's really changed the trajectory of my career, because I've reached an audience that I didn't really know would be my demographic. You know, when you're doing more pop music, you're trying to reach younger kids. But my demographic ended up being much older and filled with activists and people that want to make change, or people that want to really dive into lyrics and really listen to lyrics. Not saying that younger kids don't, but, you know, for younger kids, they want to feel good. And I totally get that. But it's really changed just you know, who I'm marketing to and the type of performances that I do and how I even talk during shows and what I talk about, because I want people to leave whenever they come to see me perform. I want them to leave feeling inspired and sort of galvanized and emboldened to want to make a change in the world and want to reflect on themselves and reflect on who they're surrounding themselves with and how they feel about certain things, and just take a minute to pause and meditate and feel and expose themselves to other things. So it's been an interesting shift in the last few years, the kind of music and performance and shows that I do, but it's one that I think was necessary and has definitely served me well.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to highlight that those kind of values that you hold have obviously manifested in different ventures. And you can overlay a music on top of that to be able to have a louder voice within those areas, but also, you know, creating that fan base and understanding. I'm so glad you said that there's an audience out there for everybody, because I completely agree with you. I think that there really is. You just really have to find it. So it's about honing in on that niche, which I feel like you've just done pretty perfectly.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And yeah, I mean, it took a time for me to realize that there is an audience for everybody, because I think how the industry is set up, it's set up to make people believe that they have to emulate somebody else that is already successful, you know. Yeah. And it's not true. You are who you are, and that's how you were made. And what you do and what you write and what you sing or what you rap about or whatever, there truly is going to be a group of people, no matter the size, that completely is devoted to you and what you do. And whether that's, you know, Lady Gaga, or whether it's, you know, more of an indie artist, you know, like NDRE, or, you know, it doesn't matter. Everybody has their own group of people that is going to kind of surround you and connect to you and latch onto you for what you're doing. So that's why I think musical integrity and artist integrity is so important, because you see so many artists, they don't really become their true selves until they've gone through this weird transformation, because they felt like they had to kind of, as the people say, sell out in the beginning and be somebody else before they could actually do the career that they wanted. That's a different conversation, but of people kind of wanting like an instant fame type thing rather than wanting longevity in your career. Because I do think both are possible, but I think if your thought process is really just focused on, I want to be famous, I want to be famous, I want to be famous, then you're not really going to be thinking about, no, I want to have longevity in career. Yeah, being famous would be fun, obviously, but for me, I'm like, okay, how can I make this a sustainable career to, you know, co-support my family and be happy and, you know, do what I love and change people's lives. And then we'll see what happens. You know, if I'm doing everything right, if you're doing everything right, I think if being famous is the goal, it'll eventually come. But if you're trying to just be famous, then you're not going to end up most likely doing the thing that is truly genuinely you.
100%. And I think it's about value. I mean, providing value for people, like you were saying, building those relationships provide value.
Yes.
And if you can do that, then the money and everything else does come with it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So yeah. So Melinda, where can everybody find you?
Yeah, it's very simple. Nobody has my name, thank God. Just at Melinda Hale everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, MalyndaHale. And yeah, I'm very active on social media and I try to respond as often as I can. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Melinda Hale.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I'm sure everybody would love to hear from you.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Plugged Into, and a big shout out to Melinda Hale for her time and coming to speak to us. As ever, if you'd like to hear more from Hypertribe, subscribe to this podcast. We release a new episode every single Wednesday, and we'd also love to hear from you. Head over to @hyper_tribe and let us know. If you'd like to also get up and running as an artist entrepreneur, head over to our website www.hypertribe.io. Over there, you can find some resources, tools, and tips about how to get up and running as quickly as possible and how to make money from your career. We've got a few exciting announcements happening in the next week or so stay tuned and subscribe to our website for more updates about that. I've been your host, Kimmy Dixon, and I'm also the founder of Hypertribe, of which this is a production of. Until next time, take care and stay safe.